This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Men, are you ready to feel unstoppable again? Join me at Men's T Clinic to become stronger than ever with the experts on men's health. Men's T Clinic's dedicated optimization tools are designed to help you meet, maintain, and elevate your total wellness goals across key areas of men's wellness, like hormones, weight, muscle mass, movement, and sexual wellness. It's individualized and comprehensive total wellness through Men's T Clinic's method, and it's yours for the taking today. 5 DFW locations, flexible hours, and affordable plans. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Here we go, hour two, G-Back Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. Thanks for making us part of it. Our Cowboys coverage continues. Here is 0-1, getting ready to take on the New York Giants that looked atrocious. We'll react more to week one here coming up in just a minute. C-Note at 3:20. Brian brought us Krusty's Corner at 3:40. Brian Daboll, by the way, today saying Russell Wilson's playing, so not quite ready for the rookie Jackson Dart.
Yeah, I made a bold statement after he said yesterday that they're going to fly home and they're open to talking about things.
They were going to look at the tape.
I think I was like, man, he's going to. I just felt like that him and the general manager are to that point where they've got to show winning games is important, but maybe if you throw a young guy out there and you get Jackson Dart to play at a pretty decent level for you, that ownership looks at it and says, huh, all right, yeah, you guys, yeah, okay, we're doing the right thing here. I mean, they signed Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, and they didn't know they were going to get Jackson Dart.
No.
They did this just to kind of, but I would play him.
Yeah, let's see what we got.
I'd play him, and, you know, you might be getting him ready for somebody else, but what if Jackson Dart all of a sudden figures some things out, and it's going to be hard. Their offensive line, I'm looking forward to seeing really the struggles. I know the Commanders had a lot of pressures in that game yesterday. But, man, I think if I was the head coach, I'd say, damn it, we need to play this guy.
Jane Slater made a pretty good point on Twitter that maybe they're waiting for Andrew Thomas to get back to make the offensive line a little bit better before you throw the rookie out there.
That's really fair. That's really fair.
From a Cowboys perspective, I'd rather see Dart because I think there's a chance that Russell Wilson is better next week after shaking off some week one rust. But I don't really think it matters that much. Yeah. Either or, their offense is so incompetent. Malik Nabers is already bitter. Arguing with coach on the sideline. So Feeling pretty good about being 1-1 here this time next week, Chief.
Yeah, same here for sure. I mean, that Giants defense was really, really bad too, if you're being real about it. I mean, how many times did the Commanders have 2nd and 10 and then get 15 yards on the play?
Yeah.
There's a stat going around just about how dominant the Commanders were from that standpoint. But then they also had some offensive linemen out, the Giants did.
Yeah.
And so that exacerbates your problem for sure. I did notice my guy Cam Scataboo, though. Physical mofo. Yeah. So Giants, 10 different instances had the Commanders on 2nd and 10 or longer. The Commanders averaged 15 yards per play on those plays.
No way. That is awesome. All right. I think it could have been a lot worse watching that game. There were just a couple of missed opportunities where a ball is just placed a little bit different. Terry McLaurin could have had a couple of big monsters. I think they only got 20, 21 points, Washington, yesterday. So, but that's a sight for sore eyes here for these Cowboys. And tonight we watch the Bears and the Vikings and see – you know, what those games are going to look like there against the NFC North. Okay, two players missing from Monday's brief practice. Safety Malik Hooker, one of them with a sore toe. Hopefully this is not a Deion toe situation in the making, because I wouldn't want to try to take the field without Malik Hooker right now. But Perrion Winfrey with his back, he has been placed on the injured reserve. So does that mean three more games at least?
That means four games.
Four games from now.
Yeah, four games from now is what that is. So, okay. That's a lot worse than I thought it was, but it sounded like it was spasms. They must have went in there and found something that he just couldn't go forward. But I was hopeful that he was going to get an opportunity, because to me, he's with the defensive tackle group, that pairing him with Clark and Osa and Thomas.
Nasty.
You got some guys that'll attack.
Yeah.
You know, like they played on the Philadelphia side of the line of scrimmage in that game.
Solomon Thomas was on fire.
Yeah. So I was hopeful that Winfrey would be able to be available.
Do you think, when you hear IR, do you think he could be out for significantly longer?
It's the back. I need to ask.
Yeah.
This could be.
You could have a herniated disc situation.
Yeah, there could be
surgery, and exactly. We'll see in training camp.
Exactly.
I mean, it's great for him that he has revived his career, but that would be a bummer. He was one of the real standouts in Oxnard. I've been looking forward to what he can provide for this defense. Coach Schottenheimer, talking about Jaden Blue being inactive today at the Cowboys press conference, said, young players, it hits at different times. Yeah. He's extremely talented. You have to earn your chance to get out there. There has to be consistency.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. I initially thought, because Eric and I were doing the pre, and then I was reaching out to people about it, like, why would you not dress him in this game? And they were talking about, well, the special team stuff. And then the more I started to think about it, it might be, well, maybe he's not carrying classroom to the field. Hmm. You know, maybe they're not comfortable with him being out there and protecting for Dak, or having to, you know,
you're going
to
need protection for these tackles.
Yeah, you're going to need. They're, you know, they maybe worried a little bit about Philadelphia, and that's why I kind of felt like, well, maybe he's not exactly picking it up. But it sounds like to me, it's about having, and Coach mentioned this, having a good Wednesday practice and coming back Thursday and having another good practice on Thursday, and not fall back into bad habits and stuff like that. So it sounds like to me that they just weren't comfortable playing him with the way that he practiced last week.
It is difficult, I think, to go from college, where you basically just been hanging out with a bunch of older kids, to now being in a professional environment. I think it can be intimidating. It can be hard to find your way or find your comfort zone. And until you're there, you know, it's understandable. But, you know, I guess in the fifth round, that's what you get. But that to me is a significant red flag for this team. I think those guys stand out like a sore thumb on this football program when everybody is rah-rah and here we go and the vibes and the chemistry and the leadership. And then you have a surly guy, an unprofessional guy. To me, this is about as bad as it can get if you're hoping for great things from Jaden Blue. And I guess we'll wait until that maturity level kicks in, but it might be a while.
Well, it happened, if you remember, it happened at Guyton. You know, it happened. He all of a sudden, the light bulb came on, and we'll see. It's very early. Let's see if it does come on during the season. Let's see if all of a sudden he gets the message that, hey, to play, you gotta be ready to practice. You got to be ready to know all your assignments. You got to be able to perform at a high level, or we can't use you. And so if all of a sudden he becomes a healthy scratch first 4, 5, 6 weeks of the season, well, then to me, there's your red flag situation.
It's tough. You know, you got to take things that aren't ideal and still find a way to be a professional and get your job done and be attentive. I one of my favorite Cowboys players is actually Marty B, Martellus Bennett, and I don't think he ever got it figured out while he was here. I think he was 20 years old when he was drafted. He goes on and has a really successful career afterwards, especially with the Chicago Bears when that light bulb came on and, you know, you realize the opportunity and how you have to attack it. Maybe it's a confidence thing and anxiety thing. You know, I'm open-minded to it, but I'm not optimistic about, you know, where Jaden Blue's rookie year is going at this point. Coach Schottenheimer talking about George Pickens getting only four targets, quote, each week is going to be different. They did cloud to him. There were 1 to 2 potential opportunities where the ball should have went to George. Of course, CD was targeted 13 times. Shoddy talked about how there's going to be weeks where Pickens gets more, and these guys are buddies, so there shouldn't be any resentment
in
there.
And see, this is what we're talking about, though, in the second half of that game or after the weather delay was finding ways to get guys open. If you're kind of understanding that they're clouding the coverages and stuff like that and making it difficult on him, they're getting a lot of cover too. They're just, that's what's going to happen to them. They're not going to let people beat them on the outside or let them beat them deep. So, you know, now it's about moving guys around and finding ways to get your players on their players, their bad players. And I think there was in both Lambs on both Lamb and Pickens, I don't think they did that nearly enough. And especially with Pickens, if they're clouding stuff, get them out of it. You know, find ways to move him around so they can't play that way against him.
Yeah, and then you mentioned it on Friday, but John Owning, Pro Football Focus, he talked about it as well earlier today on Twitter. If you're not the primary or secondary option, the intensity of your routes, he said it left a lot to be desired. Yeah. And even on the fourth down play, on fourth and three to CD Lamb, you know, the attempted rub on that one you were talking about, right. Friday Owning saw the same thing there. And that sucks because that's one of the reasons he's not in Pittsburgh anymore. It's not just the fighting and the attitude and the drops that happen late, but it's the down in and down out. If the ball's probably not coming to me, I'm not going to give you 100%. And I don't know how that bodes for his long-term future here. I think it's trending towards one and done, if you ask me, because looking at that from a coaching perspective, I don't really want to keep this around, no matter how talented he is.
For sure. I mean, that's what's so frustrating about it. And
this is game one.
Yeah, this is game one.
Yeah, but get his
time to prove Pittsburgh wrong. And he's like, nope, I'm going to mail this in.
Contract year, first game, and you're still having those bad habits. And maybe some of those bad habits are tough to work out of. You don't just flip a switch and
become that guy. I'm sure he was frustrated and probably saying the right things afterwards. And
he says all the right things. Always. I mean, like when we sat down with him, he's talking here, like everything is. He sounds great. See, he sounds happy, all that kind of stuff. But
talented player, I put this one on the staff. I mean, I know he has to be better. I know that he has to run the routes with intensity and all that. But find a way to get him involved like you do CD Lamb. Find a way to get him more involved. And see, if you're getting him involved, if his targets are up the 8 to 10 variety of targets and he's not having that production, then – by all means, this was probably a really, really bad idea. That's a damn good football player. Find a way to use him more.
Agreed. I mean, that's 100% fair.
I totally understand what you guys are saying. But
get him involved, keep him involved.
But that's on the coaches, though. Move him around, keep him on the move, throw him the ball. You saw what happens when they throw him the ball. He's drawing pass interference penalties.
Yeah, the impact is there.
They can't cover him a lot of the time.
It's amazing how wherever the ball is, he will make a last gasp attempt at it and get his hands on it.
Yeah, if it's within reach, he is going to find a way to maybe come down with that thing.
He's a samurai. He's a samurai of the wide receiver position, and we need.
But
to
the route running
code.
Needs to be better for sure.
Cam Ward's debut was statistically atrocious. I think he completed like a third of his passes, but the completed passes are absolute dimes. Like, if you just watch Cam Ward's completed passes from yesterday, you'd be like, holy crap, this is one of the most promising rookies. But he missed like 20 throws. Tony Pollard, his leading receiver and leading rusher, Calvin Ridley, had a big drop late. And they've been trying to rebuild their offensive line there in Tennessee. But six different Broncos had at least one sack. That's a scary sight for anybody, especially a rookie quarterback.
Denver's defense is good, too.
Yeah,
it's a tough place.
That whole thing, Patrick Surtain, I mean, whenever you put Patrick Surtain in coverage, it's going to be a nightmare for whoever he's playing against.
We had a high-scoring game with Steelers and Jets. Fields against Rodgers taking on their former team. Sure looked like Rodgers still has it, but Pittsburgh could not protect him well enough. They couldn't run it well. They couldn't stop the Jets' running game. I don't know how you look at that, but in back-to-back games for Pittsburgh now, they got run all over by the Ravens in the playoffs, and then they got run all over by the New York Jets. So I'm not quite sure what to make of that AFC playoff picture other than Baltimore and Buffalo right now. But almost losing to the Jets is, you know, identity crisis, especially when Justin Fields puts 32 points on you
That's not fun at all.
Yeah, their defense, because with the Steelers, you're thinking they're going to have a legit defense. That's just kind of always
the case.
I'll
tell you what, man. Sauce Gardner was really good yesterday because he was blanketing DK Metcalf. Metcalf only had one reception for 11 yards on three targets. So,
wow.
Yeah, and that's 30. And I looked this up. DK Metcalf was on Sauce Gardner 30 of his 33 routes. And he only gave up one reception for 11 yards.
Did you see the miracle catch there?
Yeah.
At the end?
Yeah.
On unbelievable. Off DK's hands, off somebody else's hands, and then back just perfectly hit him in the breadbasket. He's laying on the ground. AP top 25 updated. Texas still 7. Mm-hmm. Ohio State still number 1, followed by Penn State, LSU. Congrats, Brian. You feeling pretty good about your Tigers?
Play Florida this weekend. It's one of those games where going into the season, you kind of felt like Florida was going to be a much better team. I still think they are. This will be a tough game for LSU.
Oregon 4, Miami 5, and in Georgia at 6. You got OU coming in here as I scan for regional teams. OU at 13, A&M is 16th. Texas Tech is 21st here.
That was a nice win by Oklahoma against Michigan, though, at home. That was a good win. Oklahoma's defense is for real.
Dude, I know. That was the thing that was – and I know we've heard people talking about it like going into the season.
Yeah.
But they were flying around, hitting people.
They got a good front. Yep.
And then Mateer is a hell of a lot of fun to watch.
Yep.
I mean, that dude is all over the place.
The
avoiding sacks and making big throws, running around. That Deion Burks is a player, too, at wide receiver.
Yep, sure.
You think the Sooners are back?
I think they are. They've got a coordinator that is – I guess 29 years old, and then they got this quarterback that Mateer, as you mentioned, and they're a pretty damn good combination from what they've been able to do. So,
yeah. Do they have deep pockets up there? Got enough money in the program?
I think Oklahoma, that's a good question. That's a Carter Freeman question because I would believe that they always find a way to, when they need money, they find money. But, back in the day, of course, with the Barry Switzer administration there and Bob Stoops, they always seem to found money, so I probably guess they do.
Rangers baseball tonight, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock first pitch. If they don't make this happen, guys, I mean, there's still the chance of playoffs, and then once you get in, who knows what could happen. I guess Mallory's going to be back pretty soon, but does this season and last season inform that maybe they should be looking at a significant rebuild? Or do you look at, hey, we just brought in some young bats and went on fire, maybe we just got to turn over parts of this roster, change up the vibes, change the energy?
I think the parts of the roster is probably the best thing right now. They've figured out they've got some young guys that can actually play and are getting some really good experience in a playoff environment. So I think it's not a full on build. I think it's probably two or three pieces need to kind of be changed out of here.
I don't know how I'd feel if I'm making a decision about season tickets for next year. What I want to see, obviously, is go out and get the game's biggest and best stars and bring them in here. But, you know, how confident can you be in these Rangers? Because it's really now three seasons, if you consider the majority of the second half of 20, it's 2.5 seasons of pretty mediocre baseball. So I do feel like a lot is on the line, including my confidence. This team can be a contender. I've tried to hold the line as long as possible. We'll see what kind of thoughts CY has as they get set to take on the Brewers coming up at 4:20 here in the GBAC Nation. Chris Young joins us every Monday at 4:20. And we got the C-Note coming up next, Top Cowboy Stories, as they get set to get ready for the New York Giants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
We're back here on The Fan. Hey, buddy, welcome back. It's the GBAC Nation here on The Fan. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. As Wolchuk would say, Wolchuk's out today. He's sick. Segments also brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. With Franklin Frankel, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Let's do this here. C-note, Cowboys news of the evening. Joseph Hoyt talking about the Perry and Winfrey injury, by the way, that just broke over the last hour or so. He's going to be on IR with back trouble. Hoyt writes, it opens up a roster spot, potentially also opening the door for Mozzie Smith to return into the fold. Smith inactive for the season opener on Thursday, marking the first time he had been a healthy scratch in his career. I just feel like it's time to move on for Mozzie Smith. Maybe they don't feel like they have anybody else.
I wouldn't make any changes to the defensive line group, or actually the defense. Now, the edge, I would consider maybe moving some guys around, maybe giving some guys more opportunity.
James Houston?
I'd give Houston more of an opportunity. I would maybe look at some – I think there's some other opportunities there. Fowler probably needs some of his – just maybe some of his reps cut back a little bit.
Just pure pass rusher?
Yeah. I think that Marshawn Nealon deserves the opportunity to be starter. Is really so to me, it's Houston, Nealon. Those guys need a little bit more opportunity. Fowler, I mean, if you want to bring him off the bench as a situational pass rusher, I think that's probably the best plan there. But that defensive tackle room, there's no need for Mozzie. Just go with the guys that you know. Let's be honest. Winfrey was inactive this past week. There's no reason to put Mozzie Smith in the lineup.
I like that. I'd agree, status quo. The Giants' offense was so bad. Russell Wilson, 17 of 37, 168 yards. He was 2 of 12 for 26 yards under pressure. Once the pressure comes, he's done now. He used to be able to escape and get out, throw the moon ball, and now you just see him going, oh, my goodness, I'm getting old. Just 36, 37 years old. Daboll saying after the game we're going to get home and look at the film, but today – a couple hours ago, he did confirm Russell Wilson will be your starter Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys.
And Jane might be right, too, about, you know, with them getting some
Andrew
offense.
Thomas,
Andrew Thomas coming back. That's pretty good idea there.
Calvin Watkins wrote about Dak's leadership in the spitting incident. That's the next story here in the C-Note. It's a good article. It's got a quote from James Harrison, the former star of the Steelers, said, if somebody would go on and spit on me, go ahead and get my bail money together because I'm going to jail. I love the line. Great quote. Totally on brand for James. The problem is, if you end up looking like an idiot when you fight, now you got spit on and got beat up, and you're the starting quarterback, so you're leaving the game. You're basically punting on any chance that you would have to be victorious. And I just feel like it's tough to say you should fight unless you're going to have that Hollywood type of scrap. You know, you knock the guy out one punch, or you DDT him. You get one of these incredible endings. But against Jalen Carter, you're going to lose that fight. There's no way Dak could whoop him, right?
No, I'd be surprised for sure. I think the response from James Harrison is exactly what I want from my linebacker.
Okay.
And the response from Dak is exactly what I want from my quarterback.
Yeah. Well said, Chief. Mario Herrera Jr. inside the Star with the headline, Cowboys O-line might be better than advertised.
Brian, I've been taking shots at Guyton and Steele. Let me increase it to say, I feel like there is a media push to justify Guyton second only to the Mozzie Smith stuff that we dealt with last year, where all of a sudden the media was insisting this guy's taking steps. I don't get it. Five pressures. I think he's better than what he was last year. I'm slightly encouraged by Tyler Guyton's long-term progress, but these are key pivotal spots on your roster. You can't have, oh, he's kind of good enough. It's got to be great, especially with an aging quarterback. You don't have a great running game right now. You can't protect Dak that well. So I'm interested to get your thoughts on this offensive line.
I would consider moving Nate Thomas to right tackle and take Steele out of the lineup is what I would do.
Wow, that's strong. He was that bad.
I'm just saying. I think that if you want to play with four of the five guys would be the strongest, probably the strongest of what your offensive line has been in a long time. Guyton is not as strong, but I would take Steele out. I think Nate Thomas was good enough to start for you at left tackle. He's probably good enough to start for you at right tackle. And what it gives you is if you legitimately want to run the football, if you feel like you can run the ball with Williams and he's going to give you some power, then I would consider putting Nate Thomas at right tackle or working him in to see. And I know that Schottenheimer and them don't like doing that. But if it was me, I'm gonna try and grow this thing with Guyton at left tackle. Didn't have really any reps at all in training camp. I mean, early reps, and then all of a sudden he's out there playing. Looked better technique wise. So there's something to grow on there. I'm trying to think of what I'm gonna look like potentially in the future, and I would go ahead and think about playing Nate Thomas again at right tackle, and wow. that would give you some legitimate now. Nate Thomas, when we were watching practices, OTAs, and minicamps, he was the backup right tackle. And then all of a sudden, Guyton got hurt, and they kicked him over to the left side. But I would, if you asked me to make one move on the offensive line, I'd make that move.
That's strong. I like that. Seventh-round pick in 2024 basically took a kind of a medical redshirt rookie year. Mm-hmm. And once Guyton got hurt, we started hearing a lot about him. Now, tell me more about Steele. Obviously, the pressures are there. Is he no longer a good run-blocking right tackle
I tell you, the thing, he had a key block in the long run Sanders had running from the backside. But if you're going to be a power gap scheme, that's tough for him. That's tough for him because he just does not have that ability. I mean, he's really good at, like, the cutoff blocks, the blocks you could see, the reach blocks, the scoop blocks, getting outside. He just does not have a lot of power in his body. And if you want to tell me that I could run the ball off the right side and have like Nate Thomas and then also Booker over there, two big, strong guys, I'll take that. I'll take a chance. And I would hope that they want to get Nate Thomas involved, but I don't think they will. It's just.
Yeah, you would do.
It's just me knee jerking on a radio program because I think that would give you a lot more power across the five guys you have.
Nate Thomas athletic enough to get out there and run a little bit?
No, he's fine. I mean, you don't – a lot of the runs are inside anyway. Mm. So to me, especially with the way that Williams is playing, way Williams is carrying the ball.
Now, the defense for Guyton is the average time to pressure, I think, was 3.1 seconds on his five pressures.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you get the ball out a little bit quicker. Yeah. But you didn't want to address my scathing accusation against the assembled Cowboys media. They're taking the cheese here from their sources
on
Guyton.
Oh, I think Guyton has come a long way because I think that Guyton, when you look at him last year, how did you trust him? I mean, he didn't even trust himself.
He got benched for Adoga.
Yeah, he came out and said he wasn't mature. He didn't handle things the right way. He didn't work hard. Hey, good job of self-awareness there. He's a different player. I mean, and a different player in a good way. Is he perfect? Is he Tyron Smith? No, he's not. But I'll tell you what, he got some one-on-one opportunities in the game the other day. And where he would have normally been broken down, someone would have broke him down. He was able, the technique, the hand placement, knee bend, all those things were very, very positive.
Yeah, he had a great line, too. He said Tyron Smith told him, I need to be able to punch through anybody.
Yeah.
And he certainly looks stronger. So we'll...
better technique. Much better technique.
Continue to track that. Again, inside the Star headline, Cowboys O-line might be better than advertised. And I think as a whole, the physicality in the inside, the ability to get some run going.
That's what we talked about. They were going to... We talked about that they were going to... If they were going to have success, it was going to be because of the inside three. And the inside three are pretty damn good. Even if Carter and those guys and Davis would have all played, I think Dallas would have been okay inside because of the guys that they have. Even Booker as a rookie starter, I think they would have been just fine. So to me, I'm never worried about those inside three.
Okay, we got Cowboys pressure rates. This went viral over the weekend. Pro Football Focus charting a 41.2% pressure rate from the Dallas defense on Thursday night. So there was the narrative building that, hey, they've managed to scheme up pressure. The context came in a secondary text. They had the sixth slowest pressure rate in the league at 2.98.
See, that's what I'm saying. I think the pressure rate was a lot to do with what their secondary was able to do.
Huh.
I think their coverage, and what happens is you're dealing with a quarterback in Jalen Hurts. It's one of the worst in the league when it comes to playing zone defenses. He's near the bottom. He has a hard time kind of finding where everybody is, and that's why he holds the ball. And then all of a sudden, if you lose contain on him, he's going to run, and he hurt Dallas that way. But you look at Jalen Hurts traditionally against zone coverages, and now I fully get why they did as much as they did. It's a struggle for him. And so that's why, but I thought the pressures were a lot because of their ability to cover and the ability to play zone.
It's just so different when you're getting pressure. I mean, go ask the Bills on that, what appeared to be the back-breaking play of the night. You had the Ravens in, what, 3rd and 10 or 3rd and 12 or something, and Lamar Jackson is like 15 yards behind the line of scrimmage with multiple Bills defenders surrounding him and grabbing at him, and he ends up turning it into a 15-yard gain. It's just crazy. You know, you're around Hurts, but he can throw you down and run away from you. You know, either you're not big enough or you're not fast enough for these guys. Okay, and then we have just a little note from the Cowboys account. CeeDee Lamb, now the fastest player in franchise history to reach 500 career receptions. Where would you put Lamb? You could have any Cowboys wide receiver of all time. Who are you going with?
I mean, Broadus probably with the better answer. I would just say Michael Irvin. I want a guy that I know for sure when it matters, he's catching the ball. Big time player. Plus the leadership and all the stuff that he brought to the table. Everybody's fighting for second after the playmaker.
Yeah, Michael Irvin would be the first answer. Drew Pearson was incredible as a player back in the day. If you go back in the 70s and watching him, I was amazed. He couldn't run out of sight, but he caught every ball. He was super tough. If you had to have a clutch catch, he was going to make that play. I think Dez Bryant is actually up there for me as well. I think when you talked about how competitive, his ability to go track the ball, find the ball, go get it, make plays when people all over him. And then I would probably put CeeDee Lamb in that mix right behind Dez myself.
So Lamb not even in your top three right now. Got a lot of work to do.
I think that Lamb, and it's not just the drops or what happened the other day. Lamb's an outstanding receiver. I just think that in my history of watching this team play, I had three guys I think that were better than him.
Well, there's certainly a lot of good players to choose, and I don't know if there's an objectively correct way to power rank that. I mean, I might go with Lamb first overall. Some of the catches that he's made on his skill set, I think he brings it all together.
And hey, sorry about that. God, doggy dude. I did it wrong again.
Get in there.
So since 2020, Lamb has the most drops.
True.
Yeah.
35 drops. True. How do you feel about that?
I do think he's maybe the most targeted player as well. So he's, I think you would probably want to look at like the drop rate or the catch rate because he's getting so many more opportunities than most guys, but it is definitely a thing to talk about with him.
Cause in 2020, he was like number two receiver. Was it number one at that time? Right.
Yeah, early. For sure. But over the last few years, he is
kind of picked it up.
He's being inundated with targets, but it's definitely fair to criticize that.
Yeah, he has the most targets. His drop rate did move to slightly above average with those three or four drops, depending on how many he gets credited with. But I guess I'm not worried about it because
he'll be
overall,
fine.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
But if you ask me the history of, I'll power rank it. I'll say Michael, Drew, Dez, and then CD.
Yeah, yeah. I was just going to say, I think there's a bias towards the guys that got to play on a great team. You know, Michael Irvin and Emmitt Smith, and they love to tell stories about how we looked across the locker room and we looked each other in the eyes, and I promised to you and you promised to me nobody's going to let each other down. Well, you just, you had great teams, you know, and I think all of that adds up to you're probably the best team. And
if you power ranked the quarterbacks of all those teams, you would, you know, you would have to say like Aikman, Staubach.
Yeah, for sure.
Know, I mean, you know, those guys, I mean, Lamb and really Lamb and Dez have kind of dealt with quarterbacks. That, I mean, Tony Romo and Dak Prescott, fine, but
yeah,
not Super Bowl winning quarterbacks.
No. Okay, we do have Krusty's Corner coming up next, buddy. Where are you taking us?
Yeah, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Micah Parsons Day, and there's other things around the league we'll get into. We'll do that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Men, are you ready to feel unstoppable again? Join me at Men's T-Clinic to become stronger than ever with the experts on men's health. Men's T-Clinic's dedicated optimization tools are designed to help you meet, maintain, and elevate your total wellness goals across key areas of men's wellness, like hormones, weight, muscle mass, movement, and sexual wellness. It's individualized and comprehensive total wellness through Men's T-Clinic's method, and it's yours for the taking today. 5 DFW locations, flexible hours, and affordable plans. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Gavin, you're an idiot. Gavin, you consistently make dumbass comments. Just a sampling of what I'm looking at here from the Franklin Frankel injury attorney text
did
line.
Did I have any dumbass comments in there, too? I make dumbass comments.
Yeah. Well, your self-awareness is at an all-time high, and we appreciate you.
Is it true?
No. There's not a whole lot of broadest hate today. No, mostly just attacking the general.
Yeah.
Which means he's on fire.
What dumbass comments did you have today?
I'm going after their tackles, probably. No. Guiding and steal a little bit. You know, they want to believe, and I get it. I want to believe as well. I'm ready. Okay.
I would replace the right tackle if it's me.
Okay. I like that. Time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king himself, Brian.
Thank you very much, Joe. Appreciate that. Let's leave Gavin alone. He's making some points.
It fuels him. No,
leave
this is good
Gavin
for him.
Leave Gavin alone.
Leave him alone.
Thank you, Lucius.
Yeah, bro.
As much needed.
Remember that old Brittany? Leave Brittany alone. Yeah. Brought us went there with you.
I'll tell you what, man. Just leave him alone. Just being trying to be a good team.
Back up off my guy.
Yeah. I don't have none of that.
Brian will take a swing at you.
You're talking to my guy all wrong.
I'm taking my guy all wrong there. Talking to him all wrong. We all watched Micah Parsons play a little bit yesterday, didn't we?
Sure did. It was interesting he didn't start.
Yeah. Interesting. I went back and watched all his plays, just, and this is the only time I'm going to do this. This is it. This is the one time. I just was curious how week one was going to look for him.
Hey, correction. Week four. I got a feeling you'll probably do it.
Oh, yeah.
He's at AT&T Stadium. Yeah,
no question. No question. You're right about that. I'll see him play in week four. But I just, this is my one time of doing it. But this is interesting, too. I was doing some, they'll always do the metrics stuff to go along with what I watch. This is what the metrics people said about him, though. This is like, after playing one snap in the first quarter, Micah Parsons played 28 snaps in the final three quarters in his Packer debut. Okay, he was traded just 10 days ago. He made an impact, they're saying, and is limited to play time, both against the run and as a pass rusher. The Packers' defense allowed a negative 2 yards rushing on 7 plays with Micah on the field against the run, compared to 48 yards on 15 carries without Parsons. As a pass rusher, he generated 3 pressures on 17 pass rushes, including a pressure that helped force an interception as well as a sack after being double-teamed. Jared Goff got rid of the ball more than a half second quicker when Parsons was on the field, 2.8 seconds, compared to off the field, 3.3. That's what the metrics were saying about that kind of effort.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's interesting about the way they played him, I was surprised how much that they lined him up across from Penei Sewell.
They liked that matchup.
They must have felt like that was something that, you know, that they could maybe take advantage of. One of the best tackles in the league. I was surprised they didn't. Now, they moved him. He played left and right end. He also took a snap over the center.
Mm-hmm. Got to do some of that with him.
Yeah, you got to kind of move him around. But the one sack that he had, a lot of it had to do with, to me, Goff is slow out of the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't run well in space.
Didn't know he was coming, probably.
They got a double team. They got a double team on the play, and Micah was able to kind of fight through the double team with off the left side.
It is pretty awesome to watch him rush.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, he showed far more power in this game. I mean, you're thinking like, gosh dang, did he get stronger?
That's the thing about him,
dude. Did he get stronger as a player? Because there were a couple of times, like say he split the double team, chase Goff. Goff's got to get rid of the ball. You can't outrun Micah Parsons. It's just not going to happen. But there was a couple of times in the run game where he stood Penei Sewell up. I mean, stood him up, like hand in the chest, one hand in the chest, and like held the point of attack. Man. I wonder if he did. I wonder if the guy got, because we didn't see him. We didn't see him practice all summer, right?
Mm-mm, just been lifting.
But man, he showed some power in this game, playing the run, playing against double team. And the always the questions about him were, can he play the run? How is he going to play the run? And in this particular game, he was in the limited opportunities that he got.
Mm-hmm.
He held up pretty well. He held up pretty well on this. So, like I said, it's the last time I'm gonna watch. But there was times where Penei Sewell had him, didn't get the rush or the push. He walked him back one time into Goff, but just like a one-on-one, got underneath him and just like that sumo wrestler move, just drove him straight back into Goff. But yeah. Man, he looks like a different player. Strength-wise.
Well, I wonder, too, if just the general freshness and not playing as many snaps helps him be able to defend the run a little bit better.
Maybe he's just opening day.
Well, opening day, but then also just simply only playing like less than 50% of the snaps.
No training camp.
Yeah, fresh. Just generally more fresh as opposed to when you're playing 80-plus percentage of the snaps. Like, you're just... I mean, that's what they talk about with run defense. You start gassing these guys down, and then late in the game, you can really start to tear them up. But he didn't really have to deal with that, so that was probably a bonus to his run defense. But when it comes to just the impact versus the pass, it's pretty obvious. I mean, he was on the field for 3 of the Packers' 4 sacks. He had the 3 pressures. Yeah. 3 pressures in a game where he played less than 50% of the snaps.
17,
and the on-off splits, Goff averaged 0.44 EPA per dropback, 6 yards per dropback with Parsons on the sideline. Yeah. And those numbers dropped to minus 0.24 EPA and a 3.3 yards per dropback when Parsons was on the field. So the impact was absolutely there. One of the interceptions he threw is because he got a great inside rush
on the
right tackle.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's just, it's interesting. They talk about Myles Garrett being a guy who's just too bendy to be that size. Yeah. And then Micah, a guy at his size, it's like he's too explosive and too strong. But when you just look at him, he's so much more explosive and strong than you think he is. And because you have to respect his speed so much, it opens up the door for him to just slip inside sometimes. And that's what he did on that interception.
On the interception. I think he's gotten stronger, though.
Yeah, and maybe.
I really do. I think he's gotten to the point where he knows now he has to be. He didn't look like he lost any explosiveness at all.
No.
I mean, usually when you get bigger, you get bulkier and you don't explode as much. He doesn't look that at all.
Must have got that epidural on his back to be generating that kind of power. I think being fresh as well is an angle with Micah Parsons because, there's been critique of his ability to play an entire season. Maybe it's week one Hulkamania. But he's probably also really energized by the crowd, by being in a new spot.
There's a lot of truth to that for sure. All right, if I could, I know I got a minute or so left here. Vach Lombardi and I did a show together this morning, and he asked me an interesting question of like let it ride or change something out, and people are like saying, "Damn, Brian, it's week one. You're wanting to change players out.
Week one knee jerks,
bench him." And so let me ask you this though, of these positions of running back, defensive tackle, linebacker, and defensive end, tell me which position you would let ride for another week or you need to make a change. Something needs to be different.
Okay, running back, I think they got it just fine. I like Javonte Williams. I'm encouraged by what he might be able to do. Defensive tackle, as soon as Winfrey gets healthy, I want to plug him in there, but I like what they were doing there. At linebacker, I don't think they have a good linebacker. I think you're going to be able to watch whoever plays and be like, wow, I wish the guy on the bench was in instead of that guy, and that includes Leofau. I think he had a good highlight preseason game, but I watched the all-22 of that game. Chicken with his head cut off way too many times. Defensive end's the spot there with James Houston. I want more of him, maybe a little bit less of Ezeraku as he transitions through his rookie year.
How about you, Chief?
Yeah, I pretty much agree with everything he said there. I do like Javonte Williams, but I would still like to see Jaden Blue. Mm-hmm. I understand there's a consistency and understanding the playbook and all those sorts of things, so they know better than I do, but I'm looking forward to getting that element of explosiveness on the field and sitting Miles Sanders down. Leofau, I just don't know how you can get much worse than Kenneth Murray. And Leofau on special teams was cracking heads. He's at least an energizer bunny, brings some type of emotion to the field. And then, James Houston, 9 snaps. We need to see more of him.
Yeah, I went linebacker, defensive end, running back, defensive tackle. That's the order I went in. And
that's probably fair.
Is what I would, if you're going to make changes at those positions. And by the way, before I get out of here, Eric and I did do a Love of the Star today, and that's out wherever you get your podcast.
Downloading
that as we speak. Yeah, and I like the idea of changing linebacker, even though
they were just so bad.
Hey, let's send the message out that whoever is the most dialed in practice week, kind of like what Bill Belichick used to do with the Patriots, you're going to play. And maybe one of the guys will get it figured out between now and the end of the year. Sports Hodgepodge coming up next. Chief, where are you taking us?
As we prep our bodies for Monday Night Football, Bears fans, cover your ears.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.